This is Henry Simon, bringing you another story from my files here at the Missing Persons Bureau.
In these stories of the Missing Persons Bureau, dramatized for Henry Simon by Ross Napier, names and addresses have, for obvious reasons, been changed. In one moment, the search for Cora Wakefield, address unknown. And here again is Henry Simon.
On a morning in the June of 1950, I was visited in my office here at the Missing Persons Bureau by a man named Henry Wakefield. In his late 20s, he was of medium height and build, with a chubby face and unusually large brown eyes. His voice was faintly tinged with a Cockney accent, and the index finger was missing from his left hand.
As I explained to your secretary over the phone, Mr. Simon, I'm here about my wife, Cora. She's left home, and I want her found.
I see. How long ago did she leave, exactly?
It'll be 8 weeks, day after tomorrow.
Yes, 8 weeks.
I know I should have come to you sooner, but, well, I was so sure she'd be back. It never struck me she might have gone for good.
How long have you been married?
7 years. I met her while I was in the army. She was working at one of the canteens. We'd only known each other a couple of weeks. It was sort of what you might call love at first sight.
Have you any children?
4. 3 girls and a boy. And the youngest is only just 2. I've got her staying with my sister, together with Janie. She's 3.
And the others?
They're at school. Albert's 5 and Judy's 6.
Mm-hmm.
I've told them their mum's sick in hospital. It's hard for them, though. They can't understand why I won't take them to see her.
Now, you say it'll be 8 weeks the day after tomorrow, which means, of course, that she left on a Thursday.
While I was at work, yes. That night, I came home, same time as usual, and found her gone.
And where were the children?
With their grandma, my mother, that is. They were spending the day with her. At least the 2 young'uns were. Cora was coming into London, so she said, to do some shopping.
Did she take much with her in the way of clothing?
Not so far as I can make out.
She left no message of any kind?
Nothing.
I take it you investigated the possibility that she might have met with an accident of some kind?
There wasn't any accident. Otherwise, she wouldn't have taken the money.
What money?
We had a special hiding place under a loose floorboard in the bedroom. We kept 50 quid there for emergencies, in case something cropped up and we needed cash quick.
And she took the lot?
Yes. What's more, I know it was there the day before, because I checked it myself.
Oh. How old is your wife, Mr. Wakefield?
2 years younger than me, all but a week. 26.
So she was only 19 when you married her?
That's right.
Has she ever left home before?
No, never.
Did you have any sort of argument with her? Anything like that?
No, that's the silly part of it. We were on the best of terms. In 7 years of marriage, we'd barely had a cross word.
There were no other men in her life.
If there were, she kept them well in the background.
So you think it's unlikely that she left you for somebody else?
Well, I suppose she could have. But I can't think why she would. I've been a good husband to her, though I do say it myself. I've got a good business. I've given her everything she's wanted.
What is your business, by the way?
Carrion. I've got a fleet of 6 trucks. We take anything anywhere at any time. Started on me own with an old bitzer I bought from disposals right after the war. Never looked back since. Bought a new home down in Streatham. Washing machine, all the trimmings.
You checked with her friends and relatives, of course.
Every one I could think of. She was an only child herself, and her parents are both dead, so there's no one much on her side. As for friends, well, she doesn't have that many. Just the odd one, here and there.
Have you a photograph of her at all?
Yes, I have. Just the one, but it's a good likeness.
How long ago was this taken?
Last year. We had a Sunday at Brighton. There you can see the pier in the background.
The mother of 4 children, she had a remarkably fine figure.
You should have seen it when I first met her. Regular pin-up she was.
Yes. I'll keep this if I may.
You're welcome. Just find her, that's all. Find her and bring her back home.
disappearance of Cora Wakefield was duly investigated by Agent Paul Study, who spent two solid weeks trying to pick up some sort of trail, but without success. Finally, having made no progress whatever, he was forced to admit temporary defeat, and the case was shelved accordingly. Over the ensuing 12 months, he resumed his inquiries on two separate occasions, but the result remained negative, and Cora Wakefield's file was placed in a special cabinet reserved for such cases. A cabinet labeled simply, Address Unknown. It was in the October of 1956, over 6 years later, that a similar case was brought under our notice. A man's wife had disappeared, and he turned to us for help. His name was Arthur Bryant. He was 36 years of age, tall, slim, and by profession a draftsman.
She gave me no warning, Mr. Simon. No indication of any kind. She just went.
This was 6 weeks ago?
5 weeks and 4 days.
What made you wait so long before taking action?
I just kept praying she'd come back of her own accord.
I see. Now, you've been married for how many years?
5, going on 6.
Any children?
2 boys.
Of what ages?
3 and 4.
And your wife's age?
32.
Where are the children now?
With friends. I couldn't hope to cope with them myself. This chap I know and his wife offered to look after them till Gloria turned up.
I see.
It's quite fantastic, really. I can't think of any logical explanation for her leaving me. We were perfectly happy. We had no worries of any kind. We're financially secure. We have our own home. I've treated her with every possible consideration.
What were the circumstances of her departure, exactly?
There weren't any to speak of. I mean, I'd just arrived home from work to find the house empty.
And the children?
She'd left them with a neighbour, Mrs. Burnett, along the street. Said she was going to town.
Did she take anything with her in the way of clothing?
And 2 of her dresses are gone. And a travelling bag she kept in the closet.
How about money?
Well, she could have put some aside. I've always given her a fairly liberal housekeeping allowance.
Does she have any family? Anyone she might have turned to?
Not really. Parents are both dead. She's no brothers or sisters.
This is the very first time she's gone off like this.
Yes.
You've no cause to suspect there might be another man involved.
Well, hardly. I mean, she's not the type.
You happen to have a photograph of her?
Yes, as a matter of fact, I have. It's not a bad snap. I took it myself a few months ago.
That's very odd.
Odd?
I could be mistaken, of course, by the feeling I've seen her somewhere before. What was her maiden name?
Palmer.
Gloria Palmer. Oh, I don't know if that rings any bells. Had you known her very long, you were married?
3 or 4 months. We met down at Torquay. We were both on holidays.
Her face is definitely familiar.
And possibly she reminds you of someone.
Yes, possibly. Look, I wonder if you'll excuse me for a moment, would you? I'd very much like to have a word with my assistant.
Yes, certainly.
He's just in the next office. I shan't keep you very long. I'm sorry to bother you, Study. Something's come up. Something rather curious.
Yeah?
Have a look at this photograph. Mm-hmm. See if you don't recognize the woman.
Well, I know the face.
Can you place it?
Let me see now. I know it well. Hey, where'd this come from?
I have a client in my office at the moment. It's his wife. She's left home.
No, it couldn't be.
Couldn't be what?
About 6 or 7 years back, we took a case. Dame left her husband and 4 kids. Remember, we had to drop it. We couldn't get a line on her at all. What was her name again? Wakehurst, was it, or Wakefield?
Wakefield! By heavens, Study, I believe you've got it. It was Cora Wakefield. At the mention of the name Wakefield, it struck me at once. But was it possible that Gloria Bryant and Cora Wakefield, the woman who had deserted her husband and children some 6 years earlier, were one and the same? Without loss of time, I had Study dig out Cora Wakefield's file. A photograph was attached, and when placed beside that of Gloria Bryant, it left very little room for doubt.
Yeah, it's her, Chief. A blind man could tell. Unless they're identical twins.
Cora Wakefield was an only child, and Mrs. Bryant, well.
Well, I guess that wraps it up, then.
I'm afraid our client's in for rather a nasty shock.
Yeah, not to mention Wakefield after all this time.
It's not so bad for him. He's her legal husband. That is, if he hasn't divorced her since. Which means the Bryant children, of course, are illegitimate.
Maybe he has divorced her.
Their study takes time to get a divorce, and she's been married, so to speak, to Bryant for at least 5 years now.
So we got a case of bigamy on our hands, huh?
Yes, it would seem so.
You going to tell Bryant?
First, I think it might be an idea if you got in touch with Wakefield. If he definitely identifies her, we shall have no option.
Uh-huh.
The address down here is Chambers Road, Streatham, number 19. At the Streatham address, Studdy was informed that Henry Wakefield had sold the house some 3 years earlier and had taken his children to live with their grandmother at number 38 Camberwell Parade, Croydon. There, he duly questioned the aging Mrs. Wakefield, who in turn directed him to her son's office in the city.
Well, Mr. Studdy, this is a surprise.
Yeah, I figured it might be. How's the carrying business?
Busy as ever. I've expanded a good deal since I last saw you. How long would it be now? 5 years?
Yeah, about that.
Yeah. Wait a bit. Don't tell me you've finally traced Cora.
Well, not exactly, but the trail's getting warmer.
You boys don't give up easy, do you?
I'll be quite frank with you, Mr. Wakefield. While your wife may be involved, I'm here in connection with an entirely different case.
Oh?
She is still your wife, is she? You haven't divorced her?
No. No, I haven't divorced her. I've toured with the idea often enough, but... Well, I just haven't got round to it.
Uh-huh. Well, take a look at this photograph.
It's her. It's Cora.
You're positive of that?
Oh, I should know my own wife, shouldn't I? Where'd you get it?
From a guy named Arthur Bryant.
Arthur Bryant?
Yeah, she went through a form of marriage with him in 1951.
Form of... But how could she? She's married to me.
Well, that didn't bother her, apparently. She might even be planning to try it again.
Try it again?
She walked out on Bryant 6 weeks ago. That's two husbands down, including yourself. Right now, she could be batting for number three.
Henry Simon returns to continue this story in just a moment. And here again is Henry Simon.
There now appeared to be absolutely no doubt whatever that Cora Wakefield and Gloria Bryant were one and the same person. In which case, Bryant's marriage was invalid and his children illegitimate. Accordingly, I acquainted him with the facts. Facts he at first refused to believe. When I had shown him the photograph of Cora Wakefield, however, he grimly submitted.
How could she do it, Mr. Simon? Tell me that. How could she do it?
That's a question I can't answer, I'm afraid. Bigamy's a messy enough business in itself. But when it happens to involve innocent children...
I'll kill her. I'll kill her, that's what I do. When I get my hands on her, I'll wring her neck.
That will hardly be a correct solution, Mr. Bryant.
Can you think of a better one?
Before a solution can be considered, she has to be found. Of course, I fully realize what a very dreadful blow this must be to you. But there's no earthly point at all in allowing your emotions to take possession of your judgment.
Oh, dear. No. You're quite right, of course. I'm sorry. It's just that... Oh, I had so much faith in her.
You say you met her while you were on holidays in Torquay.
Why, yes. We were both staying at the Cumberland Hotel there.
The Cumberland? Mm-hmm. And you hadn't known her before?
No, not at all.
She registered at the hotel as Gloria Palmer?
Yes, Miss Gloria Palmer.
And I think I remember you stating that you'd known her for some months before you were married.
Yes, it was about 3. Although, actually, yeah? I proposed to her before we left Torquay.
And she went back to London with you?
Yes, she had some rooms in Bayswater.
Did she happen to have a job of any kind?
No, as a matter of fact, she didn't. She told me that she'd been doing temporary work and that at the moment she was now between jobs.
Yeah.
And as we decided to get married, well, didn't seem much point in her taking another one. Instead, she spent her time looking at houses. Flats, cottages, you know. Or yes. When she found a house that suited, well, we just got married and moved in.
I see. Was it a church wedding or a...
No, it wasn't. Registry office.
Oh, yes. Well, I think we'll leave it at that for the moment, Mr. Bryant. I'll just get you to jot down one or two more routine particulars, if you don't mind, and then we'll get cracking right away.
You know, there's one thing that puzzles me, though, Chief.
What's that?
The question of identification.
Mm-hmm.
You see, to get married, she'd need papers establishing her identity as Gloria Palmer.
False papers are very easy to come by, Study.
Oh, yeah, I know that, but you got to know who to go to.
Obviously, she made it her business to find out, which wouldn't be very difficult. Soho's simply crawling with false identification vendors. A few pounds, you can pick up her credentials that'd fool the Registrar General himself, if you wanted to. However, for the present, I'm not concerned with how she managed that side of it. I'm very much more interested in the fact that within a very few weeks of leaving Wakefield, she managed to find her way to the Cumberland Hotel in Torquay.
Well, so?
Doesn't it strike you as possible that she might have returned there?
Oh, you mean to the Cumberland?
Not necessarily to the Cumberland Hotel, but to Torquay. Having met with such very great success on her previous ventures there, it occurs to me that she might have been tempted to go back. Assuming, of course, that she's out to land another husband, that is.
Yeah. You really think she would try it again?
Well, why shouldn't she? Obviously, she left Wakefield because she was bored with her marriage. She had everything a wife could want. But that wasn't enough. She was tired of being the mother of four children. Her first years had been fun. But the fun had turned to dullness and drudgery.
Oh, yeah.
And so she decided to find herself a brand new husband and start all over again. That's exactly what she did. Brian filled the bill admirably for a time. But eventually, of course, she found herself right back to where she'd been before, and so...
The process is repeated, huh?
Exactly. She got away with it once. Why shouldn't she get away with it for a second time?
Well, you know, Chief, I suggested the same thing to Wakefield, but he didn't appreciate the joke.
I doubt if Bryant would either. Examined in the harsh light of fact, it's the only possible explanation for her behavior, isn't it?
Hmm. Yeah, the circumstances are similar enough.
No, they are in every way. The whole thing conforms to a pattern. That's why I feel that a trip to Torquay might prove very fruitful. If our lady is just as much a creature of habit as she appears to be, then there's just a chance that you're going to pick up her trail. Unlike Study and Hunter, I very rarely place much faith in hunches, but this was an exception. To date, as far as we knew, Cora Wakefield had indulged in a repeat performance, so to speak, of her previous venture. After 5 years of marriage, she disappeared from her home while her husband was at work in just the same fashion as she'd done before, leaving no trace at all behind her. It wasn't very likely that she was going to return to the same hotel, but, of course, Torquay abounds in hotels, and she'd have had any number to choose from. Therefore, Study's job was to check with them all. And on the following day, on his arrival in the popular Devon Coast Resort, he commenced his inquiries at the Cumberland.
Yes, sir, what can I do for you?
I'm trying to trace a woman who might have been a guest here some time in the past 6 weeks.
Yes, sir?
Well, I'm not sure what name she'd have registered under, but I've got a photograph of her here someplace. There. You recognize her at all?
Can't say I do, sir. No, sir, she certainly didn't stay here. I make a point of getting to know all our guests by sight. Perhaps you should try the Conway Arms next door.
I'm sorry, sir, I can't help you. The Chatsworth's just down the road. Have you inquired there?
No, sir. She certainly wasn't a guest here. So sorry.
One by one, Study worked his way along the line of hotels flanking the promenade. In all, he inquired at 11, before finally arriving at the Cambridge, which stood on the corner of Chalk Avenue and Heston Boulevard.
I've got a photograph of her here, if you'll just take a look at it, look it over.
Yes.
You mean you recognize her?
Yes, sir. It's Miss Maitland.
You say Miss Maitland?
Yes. She was here for a fortnight last month. I got to know her quite well. She and Mr. Dorrington both.
Mr. who?
Dorrington. Yes. They were always together. I understand she went back to... Birmingham, yes, that's Birmingham. She went back to Birmingham with him.
Back to Birmingham, eh? Yeah.
Yes, sir. I wouldn't be sure, but rumor had it they were planning to be married.
Although he'd been vaguely expecting something of the kind, Sally was rather taken aback by the hotel clerk's calm announcement. Unable to enlighten him any further, however, the latter referred him to his employer, one Malcolm Godfrey, who had managed the Cambridge for many years and who, it transpired, had befriended the man, Dorrington, during his stay as a guest at the hotel.
Yes, that's right, sir. That's right, Mr. Studdy. Nice chap he was, too. Liked him very much.
Miss Maitland, did you get to know her at all?
I should say I did. Dashed attractive woman, that. Should make him very happy.
It is true, then, if they were planning marriage.
Huh? Oh, I should say so. Took him back to Birmingham to, just to meet his people, didn't I?
Yeah. And that was 3 weeks ago?
Yes, I should say about that.
Now, you wouldn't know his address in Birmingham, I suppose.
Yeah, as a matter of fact, I noted it down somewhere.
Oh, good.
Somewhere here. Ah, there you are. Rex Dorrington, 81 Havistock Road.
I'll jot that down, 81 Havistock Road. Right, now, were they intending to be married right away?
I rather gathered that impression, as soon as they could be, that is.
Uh-huh.
Of course, these things usually take a few weeks, formalities and so forth.
Travelling overnight by train to Birmingham, Studdy arrived in that city at 7:10 the next morning. From the station, he took a cab to Havistock Road, which was less than a mile away, alighting at the entrance to number 81, a narrow stone home which had been converted recently into three flats. The front door was open, and over the knocker was a card listing the names of the tenants and their flat numbers. Rex Dorrington's was on the very top floor. It was flat 3.
Yes?
Mr. Dorrington?
Yes, that's right.
I'm sorry to wake you up, but Studdy's the name. Missing Persons Bureau.
Dorrington had on a dressing gown and slippers. His hair was tousled and his eyes were bleary. Rubbing a hand across his unshaven chin, he yawned again.
Pardon me. I was just climbing out of bed when the bell rang. Missing Persons Bureau, did you say?
Yes, that's right. I'm here in connection with a Miss Maitland.
Joy, what's happened? Is something wrong?
Is she here?
Here? No. No, she's in London. Or at least she would be by this time. I put her on the midnight train.
Oh. Do you expect her back?
Tonight? Why?
Well, a client of mine, in fact, two clients of mine, they're anxious to contact her.
Oh, what about?
I'll explain in a moment. First, I'd like to get the picture straight. You're not married to her yet, I take it?
No. No, not till next week. On the Friday, possibly.
Oh, that's something. What's she doing in London?
Well, she had some things to pick up.
Including a new set of identification papers, maybe, huh?
Identification papers? I don't quite follow.
You will. You see, her name isn't Joyce Maitland. It's Cora Wakefield.
Cora Wakefield?
Mrs. Cora Wakefield.
I'm... Look here, is this some kind of joke?
No, it's no joke. And there's more to come.
I...
As well as having a valid husband and four legitimate children, she has an invalid husband and two illegitimate children.
She...
You can count your lucky stars, boy. You've had a narrow squeak.
Rex Dorrington proved as difficult to convince as Arthur Bryant had been, but he, too, wilted under the pressure of facts as the truth was thrust upon him. It duly transpired that he'd arranged to meet Cora Wakefield, or Joyce Maitland, as he knew her, at Birmingham Central Station upon her return from London that evening. Her train was due in at 8:20, and it arrived dead on time. But it wasn't Dorrington who was there to greet her. It was a grim-faced Paul Studdy.
Miss Maitland?
Oh.
Dorrington couldn't make it. He sent me along instead.
You're a friend of his?
The best friend he ever had. But we can talk about that on the train.
On the train?
Yeah, we're going back to London, Mrs. Wakefield. Or would you rather I made it Mrs. Bryant?
I don't know what you're talking about.
Don't you?
Pick me direct at once.
He doesn't want to see you, but your two husbands do. That's why we're going back to London. So as not to disappoint him.
A train leaves from Platform 5 in 10 minutes. Let's go, shall we?
Henry Simon returns to conclude this story in just a moment. And here again is Henry Simon.
Cora Wakefield was duly called upon to answer a charge of bigamy. Found guilty, she was sent to Holloway Prison for 12 months. Wakefield has since taken steps to divorce her. Bryant has married again. But unjust as it may seem under British law, his children remain illegitimate, thanks to a woman who wantonly used him as a means to her own heartless and selfish ends. And now, as always, this is Henry Simon inviting you to meet me here again, and for the present, bidding you au revoir.